We observe Earth Day, that is today, lots of different ways, including planting trees here and there. You've heard the expression for a forester, every day is Earth Day. It's certainly true in the sense that foresters are often out planting trees. Today's guest and the people he works with have planted many, many trees over the years, many of them in the Mill Creek Forest, a corner of the Redwoods in Del Norte County. Lathrop Leonard is our guest. He's a forest ecologist with California State Parks in the North Coast Redwood District. Lathrop, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here.
Can you give us a little history of the Mill Creek Forest and how it got to the ownership it's in now and the state it's in now?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's actually been on the minds of folks like the National Park Service and the Save the Redwoods League and other environmentally oriented folks to preserve this and turn it into a park since the early 1900s. And that's sort of when they started really, the Save the Redwoods League started getting going, and they ended up buying portions of Jedediah Smith Redwood State Park. But it wasn't until 2002 that the Mill Creek property was turned over to state parks through a purchase agreement that several state agencies and Save the Redwoods League and others were involved in.
So the land has been cut before, is that right? It was cut by timber companies?
That's right. So Jedediah Smith was protected, but the upper reaches of the watershed, there just wasn't enough money to purchase at all. So it went into the hands of several timber companies, and there was a good bit of logging going on the western part of the property in the 1930s. And then in the 1950s, the majority of the property was taken over by a different timber company, the Simpson Timber Company, and they logged pretty much the whole thing between then and 2002 of the 25,000-acre property. There's about 150 or so acres of old growth left. The rest is pretty young forests that we're now managing.
Lathrop, give us an idea of location here. I think a lot of folks who come in from the Oregon side are familiar with going to Stout Grove in that same general area. Where is Mill Creek in relation to that, and is it like upstream, downstream?
Yeah, it's just upstream. So Stout Grove is where Mill Creek flows into the Smith River, and there's a good portion of Jed Smith just upstream from there. But the upper reaches of the watershed, there, like I say, there was not the funding to purchase it back before the logging occurred. So it's pretty much due south of Stout Grove and that whole area and the Jed Smith campground. It's also nestled between old growth along the coast and the original part of Del Norte Coast Redwood State Park, and to the east of it is Six Rivers National Forest. So it was kind of a horseshoe-shaped piece of protected land until we were able to purchase the Mill Creek property. So that's providing great connectivity between the wildlands further interior and the coastal old-growth redwood forest.
So did you fill in the horseshoe in a sense?
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. How well can you determine what the species mix was there before logging and what has grown there since logging?
Well, that's sure a big challenge, is figuring out exactly what things look like. And I think that we want to be careful not to manage to try to get things to look exactly like they were before, because, you know, we're living in a dynamic forest, a dynamic world, and these forests are changing over time. We think of old growth as something kind of stagnant sometimes, but it's actually a very dynamic ecosystem. It's just often happening on a scale that's a time scale that's a little harder for us to appreciate. We do look at aerial photographs, what's growing there now, and soils and other things to piece together what it probably looked like in a really rough scale. And that's really close enough, because what we want to do is push it towards that pre-logging condition, but then let nature sort of take care of things and let it work itself out, because I don't claim to know enough to be able to say exactly what this forest looks like. I think it needs to figure it out for itself. So what I try to do is put the forest on a trajectory that will allow it to develop naturally into the old forest conditions that were there prior to logging.
That sounds like a tricky place to find. I mean, the place between managing enough and managing too much.
Well, it is. So, and especially on a property the size of 25,000 acres, you know, we're pretty limited with funding and such. But we really have to prioritize what's the worst of the worst, and what can we do? How can we get the most bang for our buck to repair the damages that have been done and to protect the resources that we have?
Lathrop Leonard's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a forest ecologist with the California State Parks in the North Coast Redwood District, and we're talking specifically about the Mill Creek Forest in Del Norte Redwoods State Park. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the restoration. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So was there a lot of replanting already in the days post-logging? Have you been doing a lot of replanting? I mean, what's the general run of the business on the Mill Creek Forest now?
Yeah, so we do have a nursery on site where we're growing all the local species, and we're using local seed sources for growing those trees. We have several areas that where the species composition has been shifted away from historic levels, and we need to plant the trees, the types of trees that are missing. We also have areas where we've removed roads where, by the nature of removing roads, of course, we have to take all of the vegetation off of that area to rehabilitate it. And then we'll go back in after the road is removed and plant the bare areas to try to speed up the process of getting them back to an old-growth forest. But that's only one small part of what we do. We actually cut down more trees than we plant. Oftentimes, after the loggers are done, the general mantra is you clear cut, you burn all the debris and slash, and then you plant trees of the trees that you think are going to make you the most money 50 or so years from now. There also tends to be a lot of seeds that come in naturally from neighboring stands and grow in those areas. So there's no guarantee that you're going to get the species mix that were there before. And the other thing that tends to happen is you get too many trees. The forest that we're dealing with right now, you know, it's kind of hard to generalize because it's a pretty diverse property, but we have really good evidence that a lot of the land historically had somewhere around 30 trees per acre. And we're finding a lot of the trees, 30 trees in the overstory, and we're finding a lot of areas now have 1,000 or even 2,000 trees per acre. So there are just so many trees growing there that there's no way for them all to grow very well.
Wow, that is some density. So instead of 30 per acre, 1,000 or 2,000 per acre?
Yeah, you can imagine for the gardeners out there that, you know, if you tried to grow 20 or 30 plants in the place, in the space that you'd normally want to grow one, you wouldn't expect any of those plants to do very well in the long term. And that's exactly what we're facing with the trees. It just this process is, of course, a little bit more slow with the trees because they get to be so large. They may grow fine for several decades, but eventually they're competing with each other so heavily that nobody grows well, and they end up sort of racing to the top. They have to stay taller than all their neighbors, or they don't get enough sun to live. And so you end up with a forest of tall, skinny trees that are all, they get very unstable and top-heavy. And then all it takes is one good wind or ice storm to blow the whole forest down. And then in that area, if you want to get an old-growth forest, you're basically starting over again.
Have there been some major blowdown events there or ice storm events?
They're not to cause the kind of damage that could happen, and I think that's partly due to the timber company was aware of that issue as well and did thinning to keep the forest growing healthy, and we've fortunately been able to stay on top of thinning those stands where they left off. Of course, the way we thin is quite different from the way they were thinning, but they had a similar goal where their goal was to grow healthy trees for 50 years. Our plan is to grow healthy trees for obviously much longer than that, but either way, you have to do some level of thinning to maintain forest health.
Our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange is Lathrop Leonard with California State Parks. He's a forest ecologist with the North Coast Redwood District. So I've never even thought about it in these terms before. So you can have trees that are certainly getting old. I mean, you want to encourage trees to reach a level of maturity, but they end up old in a way you don't really want them to be old because they're tall and skinny.
That's right, and they will fall over. The other thing is so they're growing up and they're not growing out in diameter. The other thing is important about thick trees is, for those of you who have seen redwoods or even Douglas fir, they have a very thick bark that protects them from wildfires. And if you're not growing in diameter very much, you're not growing that thick bark to become resilient to those types of disturbances.
I know we talked to Lionel Arguello. You probably know him at the National Park Service, a similar line of work, doing some removing of trees in Redwoods in Humboldt County. Has it gotten to the point over time, the more you do these projects, that the removal of trees from the Redwoods gets less controversial?
That's true. Yes, I work with Lionel quite a bit, and it was something that folks were really nervous about. In fact, when we acquired the Mill Creek property in 2002, it took a lot of talking and discussing with folks to get them used to the idea of cutting down trees to help a forest. And some people didn't want us to do a thing, but just let nature take its course. And we really had to educate folks and develop the case that the only way to really protect the forest and to get it back to something resembling what was there before is to remove some of these trees.
So in the process of removing, is there also replanting going on? Are you doing some planting too in addition to the removal?
Absolutely, yes. In areas where either the species composition is that far skewed, we may have to plant things to get it back on track. It's also a matter of if you think about an old forest, you don't just see big trees. That may be one of the harder things to do or take the longest to do is to grow the big trees. But they're not just big trees, right? There's small trees and trees of all different sizes in that forest. So sometimes when we do some thinning, we may also want to underplant with some other species to get the diversity there and to get the variability in tree sizes established as well.
These must be tricky prescriptions to come up with, though, because like, I imagine you could come up with, like, well, let's have this, you know, X many per acre of this species, but then you get out of the land, and well, there's a fairly steep embankment there, you know, so maybe three there, eight over there. I mean, does it end up being like landscape management?
It is in a lot of ways, and the other thing that's tricky about it is it's kind of a changing number in a sense. Like, if you can imagine if the, you know, I was saying like you may have 1,000 trees per acre in some of our areas, and if all the trees are 2 feet tall, they're probably all fine. They're growing well. They have enough space. But as they get 10 or 20 feet tall, they start to compete with each other and you need to thin them out. Now, as they get to be 100 feet tall, then you may need to thin them a second time. So one of the things we're struggling with is how far do you reduce tree densities at what stage of the forest life? And then it's also a matter of, well, trying to predict how many trees are going to die in the next several decades from various causes, natural causes such as fire, lightning, bear damage, and other things. And how many trees may you want on the landscape to die naturally for things like snags and coarse woody debris, which are also important habitat components for other species that use these forests.
And then, Lathrop, how do you measure success near-term and long-term on the restoration of a place like the Mill Creek Forest?
Well, that's a real challenge, right? Because, you know, the original forests were in some cases 2,000 or more years old, so we'll all be gone before we see the final product, right? So we have long-term goals of trying to make it look more like it did before logging. But in the short term, we're looking more at things like growth, how our trees growing. And we have a monitoring program, and by the way, to track this, but how well is our different prescriptions at promoting growth and the and promoting other species, other types of vegetation to be growing within the same area as well. If you look at some of these younger stands that have not been treated, there's almost no other vegetation in the understory because there's just not enough light getting to the forest floor. So we've got to open these forests up enough to get sunlight down there so that other vegetation get established. And that, these are things that we track and ways that we can measure our success.
I hope you're taking detailed notes because it's going to be generations beyond yours that are going to be finishing up the work, if it's ever really finished.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, forestry, the forest restoration is still kind of an emerging science. I think you're getting the picture there that, you know, we don't know everything we need to know at this point to do this perfectly and most efficiently. So we've got to try different things, monitor what we do, take good notes, and learn from our successes and our failures.
And how often are you actually out in the woods versus back in the office compiling notes?
Well, that's a kind of a moving target as well. Certainly when I started this in 2004, I was spent almost every day out in the field. But now I spend I still get out in the field quite a bit, but I'm spending more and more of my time in the office planning, writing grants, and trying to come up with a strategy to deal with this. And as you know, Oregon's kind of in a similar boat to California now, where our budgets are not as flush as we sure like them to be. So we've got to be as efficient as we can about treating these and seek other sources of funding to pay for them.
All right, we're talking about the Mill Creek Forest and the Del Norte Redwood State Park. Lathrop Leonard is a forest ecologist with California State Parks. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.